Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The attempted assassination of Donald Trump appears to flip the script of American politics. Trump once unified Democrats and divided Republicans. Now the Democrats are in disarray, and Trump rules supreme within the GOP. The debate and the shooting have changed everything. Crosstalking Trump, I'm joined by my guest. In Highland Beach, we have Greg Pasajadula. He is co-host of the Convo Couch. And in San Francisco, we cross to Scott Bennett. He is a former U.S. Army officer. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Pasta, one of the most interesting things that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, particularly the assassination attempt on Trump, is that everything has changed, and who do you trust? Those are the two things I've drawn so far. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, everything has changed, right? I mean, there's a saying, if he was once Jesus on earth, he is now God in heaven. I mean, everybody is just flocking to him. Every single time they tried to indict him or, you know, arrest him for something, it just raised his numbers. So you can just imagine what this assassination attempt is doing for him. I mean, everybody is continuously flocking to him now. So it really has changed the landscape. But I mean, after yesterday, seeing him come out at the RNC with the tape on his ear, coming out to seeing proud to be an American, I mean, this is going to be really hard to beat him if this was a fair election. So, I mean, the stakes have risen. It seems like he's gotten everybody to come to his side. But for me, that makes me scared about what will happen moving forward if he does become elected.
Well, Pasta, staying with you here, you know, we've seen when it comes to Trump, his opponents go up the escalation ladder. And the highest point we've reached so far is this assassination. But there's still many rungs in that ladder as we go up. I'm afraid to say we are in a very dangerous, unstable time. Scott, you know, how are we going to except what happened here? The Secret Service is going to tell us what happened. The FBI is going to tell us what happened. Some person in the DOJ. I mean, really? I mean, these are the people, or at least the DOJ, have been going after Trump now since he left office. You would even argue the DOJ went after him when he was in office here. We can't believe these people. They've lost all credibility and legitimacy.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Peter. They have lost all legitimacy. They've lost all trust. Of course, these are the agencies that betrayed the American public by hiding the Hunter Biden laptop story and inventing the propaganda of a Russian hoax and the election process. And the American people know this, and the American people despise these agencies. And also the Nazi Merrick Garland Department of Justice going after the Trump supporters of January 6th. And going after women, you know, who challenge school boards because they don't want the LGBT agenda ramrodded down their children's throats. All of the American public, for the most part, that has a brain, has taken a position against these agencies for their tyranny. And now we're seeing once again the Department of Secret Service do a Kennedy potential assassination setup. There's two possibilities. Either they're grotesquely incompetent because of their diversity, equity, and inclusion mantra, or it's worse, or they actually conspired to assassinate Donald Trump. And we'll see if the Congress has any integrity by mentioning that word. Did you do to Trump what you did to Kennedy, or try to? If they don't mention the Kennedy assassination and the parallels, then, of course, we know the Congress is suspect, too. But you're right, Peter. This has elevated and advanced Donald Trump into a position of victory. You're also right that the Democrats are like drowning men. And I have predicted for a long time that they were going to assassinate Joe Biden to create a martyr card and then move in Gavin Newsom. But I think now with Trump's near assassination, they are probably, and I hope I'm wrong, but I do believe they're going to assassinate Kamala Harris and then move in Gavin Newsom into that position. And then he automatically becomes president before the election. And if they do two assassinations and blame it on a Trump supporter, who's, of course, a deep state agent, then they can do some sort of a suspension of the election like Zelensky has done.
Okay, but, you know, considering what Scott just said there, Pasta, if we don't get the truth from these authorities, then any kind of conspiracy theory is going to, I mean, they're all over the place right now. It's not because they're invented out of thin air. Of course, some people will, but it's because if we're not told the truth about something, that we're left alone to decide ourselves, okay? It is, you know, either the malice or the negligence of the authorities, you're gonna get conspiracy theories, pasta.
Well, the problem is really when you look right down at it is not is the fact that both parties, Democrats and Republicans, even the Trump people, don't want to get rid of the CIA or the FBI or the DOJ. They just want to reform it, right? But when they say reform it, it's the same old, same old. These agencies cannot be reformed, and they will never, ever change. They need to be abolished like JFK said they would be. But I think people are in three camps right now, Peter. I think some people believe in the marketing. That's what's told to them, what they see on MSNBC or what they see on the television. And then you have those truthers out there, the conspiracy theory, right? They're called truthers now because they seek the truth. And ever since Epstein and a little bit with 9/11, they now believe that most conspiracy theories are kind of true out there, and they are coming true, especially with the Victoria Nuland situation when it came to the bio labs in Russia. I mean, before she admitted to that, everyone was saying this is just a bunch of conspiracy theories. But I think most people are in the third camp, and that is they believe their government is lying to them, and they don't know what to believe. So that's where we're standing right now, and nobody's going to be able to tell us anything because it's like a triangular discussion right now, and anything's up for grabs.
It's interesting, Scott. I mean, the reason why the iconic imagery, everyone knows what picture I'm referring to, but the importance of, you know, you can, you know, it's another Iwo Jima image, you know, that's fine. I agree with that here. But you know what it is, Scott and Pasta, is that it was unfiltered. Nobody had to explain to me what's going on. I don't have to listen to pundits. I don't have to listen to spin. For a nanosecond, we all saw clearly what's going on. And this is what puts the establishment in a bind, because you can't lie to me about what I just saw. Go ahead, Scott.
Brilliant observation, Peter. It was raw. It was immediate. It was very simple. It resonated with historical significance. It resonated with present animosity, which the media and the Democrats have constantly sniped at Donald Trump since 2016, which has given the American public a political indigestion, if not nauseated them. And now this was the fruit of all of that hatred and vitriol and predatory rhetorical slander. And we know the Democrat lunatic leftists do this. We see them making their TikTok videos. The American people are appalled by it. They're center right conservative. It's not a liberal leftist country. And what you described is exactly the shock moment of people going down the roller coaster, and their adrenaline kicks in. And now, and it's still not over, Peter. This is, you know, it's a combat situation. This takes a week to process out of your system. So we're still going to see the evolution of this in the public's minds. And Trump wearing the bandage, like I said, is a brilliant prop. Now he's picked J.D. Vance, a former Marine, another brilliant choice that sets the long-term control of conservatives, not GOP establishment, conservatives
exactly.
Driving the American public.
You know, Pasta, you have to be careful with the kind of words. I don't want to say glee. I mean, we're in a very unstable, dangerous time. But I really just wanted to, like, see Joe Scarborough basically say, Hitler has been shot, but we hope he has a quick recovery. Because that's the narrative mode that they're in right now. And I don't feel sorry for them. Go ahead, Pasta.
Well, Peter, I don't want to get away from what possibly could be going on behind the scenes, right? I mean, I think what your other guest has alluded to is what they want people to think, that this is a left versus right battle. Isn't there a possibility that Trump can be a Manchurian candidate of sorts? I mean, when you sit down and you look at the policies, especially when it comes to foreign policy, they're not that far off. Trump is not going to pull out of NATO. He definitely is then saber-rattling with the Chinese. And when you bring a guy like like J.D. Vance, and yeah, he looks good on the surface, but when you dig deep, this is a guy who's been funded by Peter Thiel and Palantir. And if Trump gets into office right now with everything that's taken place, let's not forget about the Patriot Act, right? I mean, conservatives didn't care about your freedom of speech and your privacy when it was, Arabs attacking us or Muslims attacking us. They let them just run amok. That's the conservatives in office. So if Trump gets into office like that and everybody wants to do whatever he says, we can look to move towards digital IDs, credit scores, those whole things. So we have to be careful when we see what's going on over here.
Well, Pasa, I'm going to stay with you here. I absolutely agree with you. When big money likes you, there's always a quid pro quo, okay? Let's be honest, everybody, all right? I mean, this is the way he's unified the party. He's unified the billionaire class, too, at least part of it in his favor right here. So I agree. Let's not, let's not jump up and down and do cartwheels, okay? I mean, but Scott, but more to your point, and this is where we have to kind of distill it down. It's also this cultural war, this civil war that we're involved in right now, and this is where lines are being drawn.
That's exactly why the American public are going to choose Donald Trump, is they want their attention and energy and tax dollars focused on the restraining of government and the resurrection of the American 1950s, 60s renaissance. They're not interested in war against Russia through the proxy Ukraine. I don't think neither Donald Trump is. Interested in Israel waging war against Iran and Turkey and Syria and Jordan and Malaysia and Saudi Arabia and every other Muslim country. I don't think Donald Trump is. And that really is going to take over the orientation of the compass. Donald Trump made a lot of mistakes in his first term. He hired a lot of buffoons and traitors like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley, who pushed him into assassinating Soleimani. How does it feel now when you're nearly assassinated? How would your daughter feel, Mr. Trump? I met General Soleimani's daughter when I was in Iran, and I've been very critical of Trump on a lot of different material. But moving forward, I think his
A commentary, I think, on the failure of the left and of liberals here. We're going to continue with that discussion when we go back. We're going to go to a short break right now. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Donald John Trump. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Donald Trump. Okay, at this point in the program, I'd like to bring in Clayton Morris. He is in Colorado. He's the host of the Redacted News podcast, and he's a former Fox News anchor. Welcome to the program, Clayton. In the first part of the program, we were obviously talking about the reactions to the assassination attempt, but I'd like to kind of stress, again, with you part of the discussion, is that can you think of another moment in recent history, maybe 9/11, but this was a moment that we all experienced collectively, and I think it was a very visceral experience, irrespective of what you think of Donald Trump, but seeing this as part of our very violent political culture, our very violent foreign policy, it was kind of a window into ourselves, and it wasn't pretty. Go ahead, Clayton.
Yeah, and I was speaking to friends who live in other countries, and we're trying to understand and wrap their heads around exactly why there was this sort of catalytic moment, why were so many people sort of rallying around him, whether you were a supporter or not. It seemed that there was this unifying moment over at least for a 24-hour period over the past few days. And there's this sort of cowboy bravado. I mean, that's what exists in the United States. There's this cowboy bravado. You get knocked down, you stand up, you've got blood on your face. I'm going to fight for you, regardless of the nuance of policy, regardless of the nuance of what he failed to do in his first term, draining the swamp, all of those things. There was this unifying moment, and I can't think of another moment in recent history. You go back to 9/11 when flags suddenly popped up on every house in America after the 9/11 attacks. Regardless of how that unfolded, regardless of the foreign policy of George W. Bush, seems like Americans were able to look past that and come together and see neighbor to neighbor down each street. And I think you're absolutely right about that.
Unfortunately, that moment of camaraderie turned into the war on terror, which was a disaster for at least not those that were earning money from it, but were people who were on the other end of it. Pasta, one of the interesting things is when we were finishing the first part of the program is that, looking at what Donald Trump thinks, what he wants to do, his past mistakes, but I'm not going to let how we got here off the hook. And it is the liberal media, the Democrats. I mean, they're being punished. You know, they played the victim for so long, and then we saw an image of a victim, and they just don't know how to handle it. Okay, and also the imagery is everything right now. Look at J.D. Vance and look at Joe Biden. I mean, it's a split screen right now. Go ahead, Pasta.
I still believe what we're seeing, what we're witnessing, is kabuki theater. I mean, Clayton mentioned what happened in Iraq and the whole, 9/11 situation, but I think the people remember what happened. And when you look at the statistics, when you look at polls, how many people now believe that there was something funny going on in 9/11? That number increases every single year. So I think what we're seeing right in front of us right now is nothing more than kabuki theater. And at the end of the day, I reject this kind of notion that Donald Trump is some anti-war candidate of sorts. Every year, the military budget went up, and there was still stuff going on in Syria. And yeah, he didn't start any new wars, but he didn't end any old wars. So, I mean, I think people are starting to get their finger on the pulse about what's going on. But the unfortunate thing is that the majority of the people who aren't in our political echo chamber, they bought this. And everything that Clayton said as far as the bouncing back up, I mean, him coming out yesterday to proud to be an American, I heard the other choice was the eye of the tiger, but people just said yesterday that was one of the most startling moments they've seen in politics in quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, again, this moment of kind of clarity, of being sober, of seeing something unfiltered and all of that. Scott, that says a lot more about our political society. We need to be shocked into sobriety.
Yes, in a military sense, you have a call to action. You have a attention, and men stand up. And I think this was the call to attention moment. And the most interesting and potentially positive thing was when Trump shook his fist and said, fight, fight, on the podium. Well, those can be translated into every soccer mom, fight the pushing of the transgender agenda in your schools by going and making speeches. Every an ordinary citizen, fight any kind of oppression through diplomatic means, through political means, through the ballots, through running for office, through legal maneuvers, not through guns or weapons. That's what liberal leftist lunatics do, not conservative Republicans. So the fight, fight, fight can be re-trajectorized towards orienting people to become more engaged, more learned, more studious, more aware that everything that has been said so far about, the criticisms is accurate. But what's most important and the only thing that matters is moving forward. How does America move forward in the light of the BRICS world and the reorientation of the dollar? The world is not going to tolerate any more American militarism. So Donald Trump has no card to play on that. And the American people don't have an appetite for it. But they do have an appetite for reformation of their own country. And the fight, fight, fight slogan can be a very positive thing to get people really engaged and fighting the media by watching alternative media and watching other programs that they actually are nourished by and not turned into schizophrenics by.
Clayton, did we, with the assassination attempt, did we see the latest chapter of the political civil war, cultural civil war in the United States, in the West in general?
I think so, but I think what you're talking about here is a fight against the past 3 years. It seems like we have a short memory, and I think in the United States right now, over the past 4 years, we've seen a massive cultural shift to what you guys were just talking about. You're seeing, I cannot remember a time when you could go into a public library in the United States and you're seeing books on transgenderism. You're absolutely right. And so this fight, fight, fight moment for these soccer moms, these individuals who are in this crowd, these hardworking Americans, they might not have that respect and understanding of a deep foreign policy connection from President Trump, how much money has been spent, in Ukraine, and the funneling of billions of dollars into Ukraine. But they do understand the cost of milk, They do understand the cost of eggs, and the sticker shock in America right now is absolutely staggering when they go to the pump and they go to fill up their car. And so I think you're seeing this massive awareness and this saying, yes, we need to go back to where we were 4 years ago in the United States of America. And if Trump represents that, then I'm with that. Sadly, foreign policy in America for voters is always lower down on the list.
Yep.
It's always those kitchen table issues. It's always what it costs to put dinner on the table in America. It's always how much money am I making at my job? It's those wallet issues. It's the morning in America moments, as Ronald Reagan's ad so famously talked about, waking up, waving to your neighbor, seeing a neighbor who's friendly to you, not worrying if you can even unlock your door in the middle of the morning to walk your dog. Are you going to see some massive influx of illegal immigrants in your neighborhoods now, tent encampments down the street in your local parks? So those are the things that really resonate with Americans, I think. And I think those moments now are, there's a reminder of where we were 3 to 4 years ago. And so I think there is a massive civil war. There's a massive cultural civil war in the United States. And I think Americans want to get back to where they were. They remember that sort of morning in America. And I really wish those foreign policy moments, those foreign policy discussions were much higher on that list. Yeah. And I hope that a Trump administration would pull back that money. But again, I'm not positive in that, right?
Well, I have to agree with you.
Space Force, I mocked vociferously on our show. Space Force, so now we can spend billions of dollars to go to war in space against China? I mean, come on. I hope the people that are surrounding President Trump this time around are smarter and not part of this swamp moment that we've had before.
Yeah, but Pasta, again, you know, how do we interpret what we saw? What we saw was what one of the fundamental problems, what's wrong in America. But given our collective discussion here, it doesn't necessarily point us in the right direction. We know something's wrong, but will we go in the right direction? Because, for all the demonization of Donald Trump, he was president for 4 years, okay? And I was less than satisfied with his administration for reasons that have already been mentioned here. And I guess all of us here today are far more concerned about foreign policy than you would get in the mainstream media and, average person. Go ahead, Pasta.
Because we understand how much money is spent on foreign policy and the death and destruction it brings, right? People are starting to understand that when these soldiers, American soldiers, when they go overseas, even though a lot of them might not die, they come back and they're mentally torn apart. They're addicted to drugs. They're constantly committing suicide on a regular basis. So people do see that, But once again, this fact, this promise that, Donald Trump, and you got to give it up, Peter, to the social engineers out there, the people who are really running things behind the scenes, they understand what's on Americans' mind. A lot of the things that Clayton mentioned, that's what's on their mind. So they understand they only have to move people on a surface level right now, what's in front of them, and show them what's going on and get them in the right direction. And I think they've been very successful at that. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of us like us who are sitting back. I mean, Trump's presidency reminded me a lot of Barack Obama's presidency. He said all these things before he got in. But once he got in, the elites were driving the bus.
Scott, we're rapidly running out of time. It seems to me, looking at the reaction, is that when the sniper's bullet grazed Trump's ear, his followers felt the same pain. I think that's why it was so visceral for so many people. They feel the prosecution, the persecution, and it's embodied in him. And that's why it was a moment that we're all going to remember for the rest of our lives. Go ahead, Scott.
Very poetic and very true, Peter. And Trump is at a moment that Obama was at when he made all these promises. He is at a Martin Luther King moment. He is at a John F. Kennedy moment. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Trump can now set the narrative and elevate the conversation and the character of Americans. All Americans want to feel and think sophisticated and elevated and positive and happy and smile again. Trump can do that by shaping the narrative and the vision and not getting into the rancor and the weeds and the filth that symbolizes the Democrat leftist mind. There's no anger in Trump. There's no revenge. And he can infect that into the rest of the population. And the buoyancy of his hope and optimism with Ronald Reagan animating a lot of his thoughts carry him through to victory, and it'll carry Americans above the carbon monoxide of the mainstream media and the anger and vitriol of the Democrats.
I agree with you, but there's one caveat. When you have a conversation, you have to have two people talking and listening, and I don't know if we're there yet. I know what horrifies us, but how we move forward, big question mark still. That's all the time we have, gentlemen. I want to thank my guests in Colorado, Island Beach, and in San Francisco. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time, and remember, crosstalk rules.